Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. I am so excited to be talking with Nina G, who will be coming to Indianapolis on October 23rd as the keynote speaker of the ARCS and Self-Advocates of Indiana Impact Awards Luncheon. Nina G is Northern California's only female stuttering stand-up comedian. She is also a disability advocate, storyteller, author, and educator who brings her humor to help people confront and understand disability culture, access, and empowerment. And she has just released her new book, Stutterer Interrupted. I'm thrilled to welcome Nina G to the show via Skype. It's so nice to have you on the podcast. Thank you for taking the time to interview with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be out there in October.
I know, me too, and actually to meet you in person. You know what? I have to say right off the bat that Stutter Interrupted, your new book, is almost a guide to taking life by the reins and owning it, right? I mean, that when I read that, I was like, wow, this is like a guide to just standing up and owning life.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate you saying that because there is a lot in there, and yeah, I'm just very excited that it's out, and I'm excited that someone who has a disability sees it that way. So I really appreciate that, and especially as a woman, that means a lot to me.
As you wrote this book, talk about how you came to write the book and what you hope to communicate through it.
The reason why I wrote the book was because, you know, in the media, we oftentimes, as people with disabilities, our stories are filtered through a lens of able-bodied people. And part of that is that we have to be extra inspirational, and we have to do this, and we have to be like this. And quite frankly, I wanted to write a book where I could kind of bring my most authentic self, which also includes some swear words and some irreverency. So I wanted a little bit of my comedy and a little bit of my disability activism to be in there, and hopefully changing or challenging how people think about disability, whether they have a disability or know someone who does, or like hopefully people who are in the arts, that they start to look at disability in a different way, because we need to shift that focus.
Sure, we do. And I really understood when you said the best thing you ever did was decide to go on stage. You said, comedy put me on a path to embracing all aspects of myself, allowing me to express my ideas on my own terms and become a professional speaker. And you also ended the paragraph by saying, shifting your perspective is key. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh. Because talk about the path that comedy put you on.
You know, I've been wanting to be a professional speaker for a really long time. I have my doctorate in psychology. You would have thought that would have helped me to be a speaker. No. So comedy was able to bring all aspects of myself into my work. The parts where I could be funny, where I could swear, the parts where I could be intellectual, the way that I could challenge our social constructs around disability, that is where comedy let me do some of that. And it also gave me a platform and both a stage in general, but also a stage as a stage to start to examine those things and to have people listen. Sometimes they're intoxicated people at a dive bar. Sometimes it's 1,000 people at a conference. So I'm very lucky to get a little bit of everything that way.
When you talk about comedy embracing, helping you to embrace all the sides of yourself, did you feel like that was being more vulnerable, or did you think, you know, did the passion and the love you have for comedy calm that kind of vulnerability down?
Oh, that's such a good question. Okay, so, well, and you have some insights into this that I don't think every interviewer that I have talked to about my book has.
Yeah.
So the vulnerability in stand-up in and of itself is extremely vulnerable, and also having a disability and kind of coming clean with it is also vulnerable. So, like, in that way, I think they're both a good match. And stuttering openly kind of opens up some vulnerabilities in you that you don't necessarily encounter in your everyday life, but it also gives you an opportunity to, you know, like art imitating life, you know, and I hate to bring up Woody Allen because he's not the best person to idolize, but none of the people who I idolized as a kid are good ones to idolize now. Bill Cosby, whatever. But in Annie Hall, he says that you don't get it right in life, so you get it right in art. And for me, stand-up is that one place where I have complete control over disability, over stuttering, over my jokes. And, you know, yeah, there's a heckler every once in a while. And, yeah, sometimes audiences aren't really feeling me, but I'm still the one in charge of that, which I think as a disabled woman, you don't always get that.
Well, and let me tell you something, that there was a paragraph where you were talking about how your parents really taught you acceptance, and you were saying that they were teaching you acceptance, even though it was a lifelong process. And I loved that lifelong process, that phrase right there, because it was such a relief to me, because my whole life has been processing how to accept and not somehow apologize for taking up my little corner of this planet. So, you know, coping with having cerebral palsy was a real struggle for me as a teenager, and sometimes even now. And it's been so long.
And you know what? It's going to be forever.
It will.
You are going to go into a different phase of your life. You're going to go into a different phase of your CP. And you're like, wait, I thought I was done with this. What is going on here?
That's totally how it goes. Yeah, that is total. But tell me about how that acceptance process continued to change and move and kind of roll with the punches.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so I think what happens, and what I've seen with friends who have disabilities as well as myself, is that you come to acceptance, and then you have to come to another acceptance, and then you have to come to another acceptance. Like, it's always like there is always a thing where you're like, oh, I thought I was good, and I'm not good. And good meaning that, like, I thought I've been through this. I thought I'm going to kick ass, and I thought that I was going to be fine, and that I could continue to kick ass. And then you're taken down a peg, and not down a peg like able-bodied people are taken down a peg. Down a peg, which is like, oh, I instill that kid in special ed, because I also have dyslexia, and I still feel like I can't do anything, and you're brought back to these places because you have all these ghosts in your life, and you know, you still have your third grade teacher who told you that you're not going to amount to anything, and you still have that person in college who said that you weren't smart enough to be there, and those ghosts come back up. And but the thing is when you start to experience that, like, I know I'm going to experience that because I'm probably going to go through menopause in the next couple of years, which totally means that my cognition is going to change, that my learning disability is going to go into overdrive, and but I've already been there. I've already done this. And so I feel like I can accelerate through that. Like, I already have a map, where most people don't have a map for that stuff. And I think that's what happens, is we just get better at it, but we still have to go through it. But we can take it and do something with it. And that do something with it, it could be activism. It could be advocacy. Mm-hmm. It could be visual arts. It could be a story. It could be that you are really good at your job at the supermarket and you can do extra good customer service there. that you can transmute that or transform that or whatever that word is into something that is very personal into yourself.
There were so many nuggets in this book that I loved. Like the first two pages, I'm like, Nina knows me and what I've been through, and yeah, we hadn't met each other yet. But I loved the illustration toward, I think it was chapter 19, about the she and iceberg. Talk about that illustration, because I've seen it in a tornado illustration, tornado poster, and how something that you are not happy with can be a problem. So you can have these negative emotions. So that's kind of what the iceberg illustration is, right?
Yeah. Yes. And so Sheehan, Dr. Sheehan, was a psychologist who studied and theorized on stuttering. And what he said was that stuttering is like an iceberg, that what you see is the very tippy top, and that is our repetitions and our speech. But beneath the water's surface are the feelings that are associated with stuttering. And he said these were denial, shame, fear, anxiety, isolation, guilt, and hopelessness. And like my dad, who is hard of hearing, who I talk about in the book.
Yes.
When I showed him that, he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. No, that totally explains so much.
Yes.
And he was a kid who was putting, because we're Italian Catholic, he was putting holy water in his ear as a kid so that it would cure him of his speech. Hoping for a miracle. And so that it's, you develop these kinds of feelings because society is telling you that you're wrong, that you're not normal, that you need to be fixed. And we have to look at that and reframe that, because that iceberg, if we looked at it in a different way, I always say they're like clouds in the sky, that one cloud might look like a scary dragon, but as it passes by, it could look like a cute bunny rabbit. And the iceberg is the same way. And when I started to meet people who stuttered and really put myself in there, in that community, I was mirrored back. And that helped to shift where, and I'll just read it off of here because I looked it up while you were talking, where it used to be denial, it turned to acceptance, fear to courage, shame to pride, anxiety to comfort, isolation to community, which was super key, guilt into kindness, and hopelessness into hope. And if we can start to question, all of us, just not those who have a disability, but you know, people who employ people with disabilities, if they can reframe how they think about it, that we can reduce the stigma and start to empower people, because they already have that power. We just need to let them step into it.
I totally agree with that. Wow. So let me you're coming to the ARC of Indiana's Appreciation Luncheon on the 23rd. Yay! And so we need to tell people what you're going to do. So give us a little preview of what you hope to share.
Just sharing my story, talking a little bit about some of my experiences and some of the key people in my life who have made a difference, and also changing that perspective for everybody, and that we need to look at disability in a different way. We need to think about it in a way that empowers, in a way that shows our resiliency, instead of seeing it as something that is less than.
Well, Nina, I cannot wait to meet you on October 23rd. And to our listeners, I hope you do too. For more information to register for the event, go to arcind.org, click on news and events, and click on special events. Nina G, I love you, and I thank you so very much for interviewing with me today. And I'm so happy about your story and telling me about these things. And you've come so far. I'm just so proud of you.
Thank you, and I really appreciate that. And this has been a really good interview. Like this,
thank you.
That insights that other people are just like, okay, tell us about the book. Like this was deep. So I like to go deep. So thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I hope your book does wonderful things because there are so many good nuggets in there for people to really embrace themselves and empower the gifts that they have.
Well, and it is sold all over the place. People can order it at their favorite bookstore, or they could go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, whatever works for them.
Nina G, thank you so very much.
Thank you. Take care, everyone.
And thank you for listening today, everybody. Have a great day today. Bye-bye.